Our job is to live and practice our faith.
The church is one foundation, is Jesus Christ her Lord.
Foundations for Living is the radio ministry of Van Buren United Methodist Church and is underwritten by our friends at Fincannon Ford in Hartford City. We are happy you tuned in, and we invite you to be our guest as we listen to Reverend Cindy Osgood, pastor of Van Buren United Methodist Church, and we explore together Foundations for Living.
Good morning. Welcome to the Van Buren United Methodist Church. Today's scripture lesson is going to start in the book of Matthew, chapter 23, verses 23 through 28, and then move along to the book of James, chapter 2, verses 14 through 24, starting with Matthew. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint, dill, and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. It is these you ought to have practiced without neglecting the others. You blind guides, you strain out a gnat but swallow a camel. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup and of the plate, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup so that the outside also may come clean. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which on the outside look beautiful, but inside they are full of the bones of the dead and of all kinds of filth. So you also on the outside look righteous to others, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but do not have works? Can faith save you? If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm, and eat your fill, and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that? So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I, by my works, will show you my faith. You believe that God is one. You do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Do you want to be shown, you senseless person, that faith apart from works is barren? Was not our ancestor Abraham justified by works when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was brought to the completion by the works. Thus the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see that a person who is justified by works and not by faith alone.
Scripture lesson this morning comes from Matthew, and then a second lesson that I added to it after having been in a meeting this week, and I felt like God was saying I needed to use that lesson as well. Story that you know well, the story of Jesus talking to the disciples as well as a crowd gathered nearby, and you remember, he talks in those parables. He's talking to those people there, and he's talking to them about sowing, because as he's talking to them, he can see a man off in the distance sowing seed in a field. And I want you to keep in mind as you hear this scripture that I think that no matter where you are in your journey, depending on where your seed falls, that somehow or another that seed, even if it gets blown away and doesn't take harvest at that particular moment, it still gets sown down in the heart somewhere. And eventually it comes out and we come to a place where we have a relationship with Christ. So Matthew chapter 13, beginning with verse 1 through 9. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. And such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, and when they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since there was no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. And other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. And other seeds fell on good soil, and brought forth grain, some 100, and some 60, and some 30. And let anyone with ears listen." And then, "Blessed be your eyes, for he says to them, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart, and this is what was sown in the path. As for what was sown on the rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but in the cares of the world and the lure of wealth chokes the word, and it yields out nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, and who indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100, and another 60, and yet in another 30. Now the next text is written in Eugene Peterson's The Message, and I've read this text hundreds of times. And sometimes, as I've told you before, I like Peterson's message, but this particular one I want you to listen to, because there's some words in it that I think get our attention. Meanwhile, the 11 disciples were on their way to Galilee and headed for the mountain that Jesus had set for their reunion. The moment that they saw Jesus, they worshiped him. Some, though, held back, not sure about worship, about risking themselves totally. Some were not sure about worship and were not sure about risking themselves totally. Jesus, undeterred, didn't stop him that some of them didn't want to worship. Jesus, undeterred, went right ahead and gave his charge. "God authorized and commanded me to commission you to go out and train everyone you meet. Train everyone you meet, far and near, in this way of life, marking them by baptism in the threefold name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Then instruct them in the practice of all I have commanded you. And I'll be with you as you do this, day after day after day after day, even unto the end of the age." This is the word of God. We've been talking about the missional church, about living into the relationship with God, about being sent out in the mission of God and living all of that in the glory of God. We've discussed our need last week to remove that veil from us. That veil, or if you will, that mask that we put up that keeps us from being real and being authentic with people because of fear of rejection or fear of whatever it might be that keeps us from being available to people. And now we turn today to living, doing and practicing not what we know about God, but about what we do live and what we show others and how they do it in their lives. So we're learning to live and practice our faith, Hopefully that's what you're doing on a daily basis. The missional church and its disciples are equipped. You and I, the church, are equipped to live and practice our faith. Do you feel that way? Do you feel like the church is helping you to be equipped and to live your faith on a daily basis? I hope so. The believer, you and I, must be equipped to be obedient in addition to knowing God. Not only must we know God, and that's, again, that's not just knowing God in our head, but it's about knowing God in our heart and then doing as God asks us to do. Now, that's where sometimes the rub comes, does it not? Because we sometimes want to do our thing. We want to do it our way. And that's where we get into difficulty, because we want to do it our way. So what does it mean to live and practice our faith this morning? Well, there's about four things we're going to talk about. First of all, we have to equip the believers. We have to give the believers, you and I, others, the tools to know how to live and practice the Christian faith. We have to practice applied Christianity. Huh? Well, it's not enough to have all the right words and all the buzzwords. You know, one of the challenges of moving from the seminary world into the church is that the seminary world is kind of gets stuck in the academia. They like to use those $45 words that are nice words, things like ecclesiology and missiology and systematic theology. Anything, any of those attract you at all? Not really. And so then what you have to do in your first year out of seminary is you have to figure out how to take those words and put them into common everyday language, because the folks in the church, they don't have a clue what those words mean, and nor should they. Our job is to help teach you the scripture and to understand how to put those big words into action. So the practicing, the applied Christianity is, what do we do every day? How do we go about our work? How do we go about going down to the school and being mentors? How do we show other people what it means to be a Christian? How do we show other people the love of Christ? That's applied Christianity. It's putting our spirituality in action rather than being obedient to the rules. That's what got those Pharisees and scribes in trouble that Polly read about earlier. They were more concerned about the outside appearance, making sure the outside looked good so people would want to be around them. But in reality, the outside was just the surface. It was the inside that Jesus said they needed to take care of, because inside their cups, inside their whitewashed tombs, they were full of all kinds of things that Jesus wasn't impressed with. So that's where we have to practice our applied Christianity. It's not what's on the outside, it's what's going on in the inside. What's happening inside of us? Having a high commitment to God's Word. Is this your rule book? It's mine. You know what's in these pages? No. This book is filled with all kinds of stories. It's filled with things about faithfulness and about generosity. But it begins at the beginning of time and goes all the way out to wherever we come to the end and Jesus calls us home. But the interesting part about this book is it tells us that even when we are disobedient, even when we have done wrong things, there are people that God can still use, because there are examples, example after example after example of people in Scripture who didn't quite measure up. We've talked about David before. David was a man after God's heart, but he could get himself in deep trouble. Peter the disciple, I'll be right there with you, even unto the end of the day. And Jesus said, oh, I don't know about that. You're gonna deny me. Judas, Solomon, Moses, Mary and Joseph. Where do we find ourselves in the midst of the Word of God? And what is God trying to say to us about our own Christian journey? Learning obedience through the disciplines of inward and outward and community. Richard Foster wrote a book many years ago, which is still very appropriate. But it's a wonderful book about the disciplines of the Christian journey. And he divides them up into three categories. First of all, inward disciplines. Bible study. Spending time in the Word of God. Meditating on that word. After you've read it, then where do you hear God speaking to you? What is God saying to you through that word, through that message? Prayer. Listening to God for prayer. You know, sometimes we get in trouble because we have this long laundry list of things that we want to tell God. God, I'd like you to do this. I'd like you to do that. I'd like you to do this. I'd like you to take care of that. Please take care of George and Sally and Bill and Willie. And, oh, by the way, let me mention one more. And then we stop. And God's waiting for us to stop and be quiet and just listen. And sometimes it takes that practice to listen because our minds get flooded up with, you know, all that stuff on those little tablets and our telephones and all those things. And we've got all kinds of things racing through our mind. And so we have to practice, first of all, just being able to sit still and be quiet. Be still and know that I am God. And part of it starting with the just being still part. Being able to just sit still and listen. And then as we practice that being still, we can begin to really listen and hear what God has to say for us. The other inward discipline that Foster talks about is fasting. Now, fasting is not necessarily fasting from food always. Some of us can't do that. We are diabetics or we have some other issue. But what is that thing in your life that is taking up your time that's keeping you from spending time with God? Maybe you need to spend less time on the computer. Maybe you need to spend less time looking at Facebook. Maybe you need to spend less time playing games. But where is that place in your life where you're spending and you're chewing up a lot of time? Maybe it's shopping. I don't know. But examine yourself. Where is that place that I could say, if I could carve out a half hour of my day or even an hour and not do that and give that totally unto God? Amazing what that might mean, what that might look like, begin to look like. Outward discipline, submission. Yeah. Okay, God, here I am. I give myself unto you. Ouch, that bites, doesn't it? Well, we want our way. If we're honest with ourselves, we want our way. But God wants us to submit to him. Solitude, time, go back to that prayer thing, spending time in quiet. Service. What are you doing to give to other folks? How can you be of service to someone? How can you, in the service, help them see God in you? And then simplicity. Ooh, there's another one. Ouch. We live complicated lives, do we not? And what do we need to do to make life more simple? You know, what would it look like? You know, we live for a lot of years without those little boxes that we carry around on our sides and we have with us at nearly 24 hours a day. We didn't have those, 20 years ago? And we did just fine, didn't we? What would it look like if suddenly you could say, I'm going to stop carrying that thing around. It's not going to dictate my life. So what are the things that we have to do to simplify our life so that we can be then more available to God? Then Foster talks about the corporate practices, worship. Worship isn't about us. Worship is not about us. Worship is us coming to give back to God, to give God glory, to spend time together with other believers, to share in God's presence and to worship God and to give him glory and honor and to hear God speak to us. Confession. And we're fortunate that we don't have to go to the little box and confess our sins to the priest. We can go directly to God and say, God, I messed up. Sometimes we may need to do that in the presence of some other person. We may need to hear ourselves say it out loud besides say it to God. We need to confess that sin to another person that you've committed something to. Celebration. God loves a party. Jesus loved a party. We need to celebrate God's action in our lives. We do that in baptism. We do that at the table. We do that in when we have something wonderful happen, when we celebrate babies that are growing increments at a time. They don't have to be big things. They can be little simple victories that God gives us along the way. Guidance. Having someone to guide us or us guiding someone else along the way. That's our applied Christianity or our living obedience to the disciples. But I want to go back to the equipping the believers. And I want you to think for a minute about where you are in your journey of faith. Where are you in your journey of faith? And maybe think about, where is that friend that we've been talking about? We've been talking for a long time about what relationship is God calling you to? Who is God calling you to build a relationship with? And so maybe think about that person on this scale here for a minute. This is a pathway that I created some time ago, and it lines up with our United Methodist beliefs of belonging to church, practicing our life through presence, being at worship. You know, we've gotten into a habit in worship attendance, and this is not just true of us. This is just a general statement for the church at large. How many of you remember when you went to church every Sunday morning? And some of you still do. We went to church every Sunday morning when the door opened, no matter what. But the world has hijacked that. The world has put things into our path that keep us from being in worship on a regularity Sunday morning. Our grandkids, our occupations, our hobbies, our whatever. And God gets pushed to the side. So we say as Christians, as United Methodist Christians, that we'll practice our presence by being in worship, by being in presence with one another. We'll practice our faith by praying, by being in relationship with God through prayer, talking to God, listening to God. We will practice our Christianity through giving our gifts. And that's not just our monetary gifts, but that's also our spiritual gifts. What has God gifted you to do? That may not be what you do on an everyday basis. Can I pick on you, Jackie, for just a minute? Now, Jackie plays an organ for us. Anybody else got an organ gift? I'm sure she'd be happy to share the instrument, would you not? Absolutely. So anybody that says they've got a gift for playing organ, go see Jackie. But, you know, do you know what she does in the daytime? She's a financial bookkeeper, correct? Is that right? I mean, if it's not, say so. Yeah. She also does that for us as well, and she does it very well. Sometimes our gifts are what we're gifted and skilled, and God's given us gifts to do. But sometimes our gifts are in other places. How many of you think you have the gift to preach? I'll be happy to share the pulpit with you if you'd like to share that. I don't see any hands being raised this morning for that one. Darn, I was hoping I'd find some volunteers. Not going to happen. What are your gifts? How are you using your gifts, both in talent, as well as how are you using your gifts in terms of what God has blessed you with in resources? How has God blessed you with your service? How are you using those gifts to serve others? Are you? If you're not, why not? And then lastly, your witness. How are you sharing with somebody else what God is doing in your life? When was the last time you shared with somebody, hey, this really happened. This is happening in my life and I see God in the midst of it. When did you share that with somebody? So that being said, I think as we look at our process on the pathway, there are four different ways that we can come in the pathway. And we have the job of interfacing with people as they're on their pathway. The first step or the first stop is somebody says, I don't know anything about the church. I don't know anything about God. I don't know anything about Jesus Christ. But I might be willing to give it some consideration. That's the step right there. I'm willing to at least consider that there might be something that the church has to offer to me, that this relationship with God might happen to offer to me. The second place is that when we move from, I think I'll give God consideration, I move to the fact that I believe that Jesus exists and I want to understand more. What I'm doing isn't making it. How I'm doing it isn't making it, but Jesus might be able to do it. That's probably where some of our folks in ABLBH are. They've been living their lives out on their own in an addiction. And that addiction isn't working. It's just bringing them more and more and more and more pain. But there's something out there that can help them. And Jesus might well be the one. And so then we move from that to I now have made a commitment to Jesus Christ and the church. And I'm going to be present in that place. And the last place is Jesus is central in my life. Think about your life. Where are you in that? Don't be ashamed if you're not where you think you'd like to be. Just own where you are. Now, part of that comes then with, depending on where we are in our relationship, is how do we go from point A to point B? This is equipping believers. This is helping folks to come along on their journey. When I look at part one, when I look at stage one, it means that we need to be reaching out to that person or those persons. And that person acknowledges that someone reached out to them. They were present with them. They were real with them. They were authentic with them when they began to understand that there was something else out there. They began to know Jesus and want to know more. They began to participate in worship. they began to have a relationship with someone who began to build that relationship with them. They continue to come to worship. They begin to learn how to pray and be in the presence of God. And they began to learn. Began to learn by reading Scripture, coming to understand who Jesus is in their life and what Jesus can offer them. And then there's, I've made a commitment. And if you notice, if you watch, there's maturity happening as we go through that cycle. I'm beginning to worship on a regular basis. I'm beginning to pray. I'm beginning to serve because I want to give back to others what's been given to me. I might even begin to teach something a little bit. I might begin to help somebody else. And then lastly, I'm worshiping, I'm teaching, I'm serving, and I'm inviting other people into the process. That's equipping the believers. If every one of us found a relationship with one person and brought that person along, and they came in the door, that person taught another person, and that person taught another person. Imagine what would happen to the empty spots on Sunday morning. They'd begun to be full. Now here's where the risky part comes. Remember what that scripture said a little bit ago? Some were willing to risk their lives. Would you be willing to go with me out on the streets and pray for homes in this neighborhood, in this community? And not just pray for home, but stop with folks on the street and say, how are you today? How are things with your life? And then pray for them right there. And then come back and spend time in prayer, being more intentional in prayer. And it might be interesting to see what might happen if this church began to have that kind of a prayer ministry. That gets us out of our comfort zone, doesn't it? Some of you are sitting there going, oh, ain't no way I'm going to do that. Ain't no way I'm going to do that. I'm telling you now, you don't have to be eloquent in your prayer. We talked about this the other night in the Bible study. Had a young man out here doing his skateboard, and we talked about what would it look like to pray with him. We just made up a scenario. What if his mother and dad said they were having trouble? Oh, Lord, thank you for meeting with this young man tonight, talking with him. You know his situation better than we do. Be in his life. Be in his situation. Guide their family. Guide their home. And we thank you. We don't know what's going to happen. But because we've offered it to God, because we've offered it to God and been faithful, we trust God for the process. We trust God that he's going to sow the seed that needs to be sown, and it's going to generate 100-fold. Our job is to live and practice our faith, to be equipped, to practice and apply our journey, to use different methods. But if we live our faith, practice our faith in relationship with Jesus Christ, willing to be sent out to do his mission, undoubtedly we will bring God glory in the process. So be ready, and I'm going to invite you to go out on the street. It's a lot safer to do in Van Buren than it is in Chicago or in New York City, isn't it? But we need to do it. We need to go out on the street. We need to get outside of our building. We need to go outside of this space and engage with people who need to know God as we do and help disciple them into a relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen.
The church is one foundation. It's Jesus Christ, her Lord.
We want to thank you for being a part of Foundations for Living this morning, and remind you that every Sunday morning at 9:30, we meet in the sanctuary at the Van Buren United Methodist Church. We would love to have you come and be a part of us here in Van Buren, or join us on the air again next week with Foundations for Living. Also, you may hear this and other messages on our website at vanburenumc.org. You have been listening to Foundations for Living, a presentation of the Van Buren United Methodist Church, underwritten by Finn Cannon Ford of Hartford City.